feel at home. God gives you a song, a testimony. You follow the Lord as well. You're at home here at Mount Carmel. This is God's church. And Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And certainly we've got a lot to say. Chapter 17 of the book of John is where we'll be reading from tonight while you pray for us. And, you know, there's just so much that we can just look in our lives and say, where would I be if it had not been for the Lord? And we know our lives would be so much different had not God intervened and pulled us out of a sin-filled world and made us part of His great big family. And I appreciate Him this evening. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, we're going to go now and start reading at verse 6 through verse 9. Verse 6 through verse 9 of the 17th chapter. It says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Listen at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And that stopped there at verse 9 this evening. If we read the rest of this chapter, God gave me this thought in the earlier part of this week. If we read through all of this, Jesus, knowing that His time was drawing near for Him to go back to the Father through the cross of Calvary and through the resurrection on the third and appointed day. But this, as we read it, Jesus is praying for the family. He's praying for the family. Everyone that has been born again is part of the family of God. If we read this whole chapter, we will see that in verse 11, much like us as we pray, and this is Wednesday night prayer meeting, much like we pray for our families, in verse 11, He prays for protection. How many of us pray for protection around our loved ones, around our family? And I need to pause for a minute and interject that we're all family. If you've been born again, you are part of the family of God. And just like God has a family that mimics our family, we pray often just like Jesus prayed here. Jesus was getting ready to go away, but He had family that He was leaving behind. All those that believed upon Him, He's praying for. He's praying for protection. And something that we as parents and grandparents pray for often, in verses 13 and 17, He's praying that they would have a relationship with God. How many of us pray for our children and our grandkids to have a relationship with God? It's never too early. As God laid this on my heart, I thought about Gavin and I thought about Grant and Natalie and I thought about Kennedy. It's never too early to start praying for our children. God, watch over them and protect them. But most of all, Lord, I pray that when they come to the age of accountability, that they will come to know You as Lord and Savior. And in verse 15, He prayed, Father, keep them from evil. And I thought, how wonderful is that? That as we pray for God to keep our kids and our family and our brothers and sisters from evil, because evil is everywhere. There is none of us today that evil cannot bring down. It has brought down the mightiest. But to know that Jesus was praying for each and every one of us, even us today, that he prayed for us, that the Father would watch over us and protect us, and we would have a relationship with God, and that we would be kept from evil. But he also prayed that there would be unity in the family. Three times in this chapter, verse 11, verse 22, and verse 23, he prayed for unity to come into the family. And I have to brag on my church tonight, because I thank God that we have the unity of the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of our gathering. And there are no big I's and little U's. We're all on the same level ground. We're all equal before God and before each other. You see, family was important to God. All the way back in Genesis, it started. And throughout each generation, God called upon the fathers to speak blessings over the children. The two important institutions that God has, the family and the church. And he's praying for us, as he prayed for them there, that we would have everything that we have need of, as we go through this life. As he did with Job, that Lord put a hedge round about him to protect him. Our children, our family today is in a world that is full of sin. And we need to pray, God, put a hedge round about them. Protect them. Keep them from evil. Because it's being offered to them in so many different ways. And Lord, most of all, that they would have a relationship with you. To know you as we know him. And I say this often, but I mean it from the depths of my heart. Best thing ever happened to me was when Jesus Christ came into my life and made me a newborn creature. And that life didn't stop just with salvation, but he keeps cultivating us and keeps drawing us nearer to him. And as we draw nearer to him, he fills our life with so much joy. I'm not happy with everything going on in the world, but I'm happy about my relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. How many of us pray for our family and pray like their life depends on it? Because it does. Their life depends on us taking them before the Lord, especially while they're young. In fact, the writer said that they would seek the Lord while they're young before the evil days come. Knowing that, just like you and I, temptations are everywhere. Satan is offering everything he's got to try to draw our children away from God and the church. But we need to pray for the family. Nobody can pray for your family like you can. Yes, we can pray for each other. I pray for yours, and you, I feel you pray for mine. But when we really get serious is when we go before God and say, Lord, it's me again. My child needs your protection. My child needs to have that relationship. My child needs to be kept from evil. And as you prayed for the apostles and the disciples as you was leaving, if the world was bad then, could you imagine what he would say about it today? Because we are so much worse off today than we've ever been. The apostles were saddened. You're speaking this prayer over us. You're telling us that you're about to go away. And yet, here we are. We've left family. We left our jobs to follow you. And now you're leaving. But can you hear Jesus, maybe with a chuckle, say, wait till you see what I'm sending you, though. Wait till you see. I can only be with you a certain amount of time and certain places. But he that is coming can be with you at all the time. Not just during the wake hours, but even in midnight, the Holy Spirit will be able to minister unto your heart and your life. You see, our family, the family of God, is you so unique. We are different than any other family that this world has. And that's why we have a longing to be together. I was saddened because we didn't have services on Sunday. I was just walking the floor. And finally, when it got to be too much, I told Becky I was going to come over here and see what I could do, because I missed my family. Because I know that there's so much out there that can draw our people away from God. And COVID has done so much damage to our families already. Amen. And I pray for the day that when the whole family comes back together and we get to worship like we worshiped before COVID, when people could really worship without all the concern and the thoughts that we have upon our minds about what's happening to somebody else, but we come in with our hearts clear and we're ready to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You see, the family is so important to God. And that's the very thing that Satan is attacking, is the family. To try to put a wedge in, to cause a divorce or to cause children to go awry. He's working like he's never worked before. But I believe that today, families can be stronger than we've ever been when we have our homes and our lives centered around God and the church. Yes, snowstorms are going to come. Ice storms are going to come. It's going to rain. But thank God through it all, the family will survive because we've got Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. There's no other institution that this world has that's like the family of God. As we look through all of these verses, the thing that repeats in this as well is that when Jesus says that unto the Father that they are not of the world, aren't you glad you've been separated, called out, set apart to be part of the family of God? I am more proud to be part of the family of God than anything else in this life. I've said this often in preaching through the years, that as I look over this audience, there are many of your families. I've been proud to have been part of your family, your natural family. But God didn't put it that way. But yet, did you know we get to spend eternity together? Because we're all one big family. And you better get used to me, because eternity is a long time that we're going to spend together. And you can't not claim me, because I've been washed in the same blood you've been washed in. We've all been to the river and been baptized. Not the natural river, but the river that flows today with the Holy Ghost and the fire. Today, as we look at our family, I said we're unlike any other family that there is. Because, you see, we share our sorrows. How many times, Brother Ron, have we shed tears together over something bad that's happened in one of our family members' home or in their life? But not only do we sorrow together, but we rejoice together. I rejoice when our young ones have great achievements in their life. Some of y'all will remember, we rejoiced when Rachel graduated from high school. We rejoiced when she graduated from college. Matt, we even rejoiced when she said she was getting engaged and getting married. And then her children came along. We rejoiced with Jack when he graduated, and we rejoiced with Sarah when she graduated from high school, and then she went on and graduated from college. I think we ought to rejoice together. But most of all, we rejoice when the doctors say there's no hope, and Dr. Jesus shows up and performs a miracle. The church rejoices. When they say there is no hope, and God performs a miracle, we say, thank you, Lord. We rejoice together. The world looks at us and says, why do you cry? It's not tears of sorrow. It's tears of joy that we can share together. Because we do have our times of tears of sorrow. But thank God, there's more tears of joy than there are tears of sorrow. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're not like the world. Because as he says in verse 26, as he was praying, we love each other. We love each other with an unending love that only wants the best for each other. I've known people that couldn't stand it when somebody got a blessing. I say thank God when he blesses you and yours because you are my family. Amen. What parent wouldn't be proud when their kids get those accolades that and accomplishments in life that I made mention of? When they get that promotion, and I mean it, you just swell up inside. And we love each other. We love to see good things happen to one another. We care for each other. If there's something wrong, we try to help each other along the journey. Let Brother Eli come in the door and watch the folks flock to try to help him to his pew. Or to Sister Ruby, when she told me she couldn't walk into the church, I said, we'll bring the wheelchair down the ramp. Because we care for each other. But yet it's not because of our care, but it's because of the care that God gave to us. Has God watched over you all these years? Amen. When you thought you couldn't, God says, yes, we can. With man, it might be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We have unity. As I said, it's mentioned three times that we have unity because we know we're part of God's family and we're all just trying to help each other along this journey. I don't want to get too far ahead, nor do I want to lag too far behind. I've said this often, and it's on my heart again to say it one more time. Wouldn't it be something if we could all just walk into heaven together? Yeah. What a sight that would be. And because we are family, we fight for each other. We'll fight tooth and nail for our brothers and sisters today. Satan, let go of my child. Satan, let go of my brother or my sister. We're a family that lifts each other up instead of like the world tries to knock them down. We lift each other up. Sometimes I can't be there, maybe to physically lift you up, but sometimes I feel like I'm Aaron or her, and I'm holding up your hand. As long as Moses' hands were lifted up, the children of Israel were victorious. Do you know sometimes there's folks that pray for you and I that we don't even know about, and we wonder how we come to where we're at. How did we win that victory? And it's because somebody cared enough about us to take our name before God and lift us up. We're family because, and like none other, because we pray for each other. I ask you how many prayed for Courtney. I may have seen Courtney. I believe as I looked at her picture, I believe she was here maybe a time or two with hope. Is that right? Or am I thinking of another? I'm thinking of another one. But as I looked at that picture of her that Tara posted, I don't know her mother. I don't know her father. But if someone in my family is so concerned, I say, Lord, give me a burden to help carry that burden that mom and dad. You see, if you've ever been to a situation where your child is sick, you'll pray for another. Amen. Amen. Some folks can't pray because they've not been there. How many of you have been there when the report wasn't no good? And you began to pray for that child. And when somebody else's child is in trouble, Ron, we can pray. Because we've been there. We've been through that dark time. And we know how to lift them up. In verse 9, he says that we are family unlike any other, that we can pray for each other. I want you to know tonight, without mentioning your name, as I look over this audience, there's not a one of you that I have not prayed for. Not one. If the house was full, I could probably make the same statement. Because through the years, we've said prayer after prayer after prayer. And sometimes people say, don't you ever pray for yourself? Very rarely. You say, don't you care about yourself? God gives you a burden for somebody else. Amen. How many of us know what we're going through is nothing compared to what others are going through at this hour? Amen. I would not want to be in Texas worried about my child. But I'm in Cincinnati, and you know what I can do? Sharon, I can say, God, would you speak a word of encouragement through the Holy Spirit? God don't have to take them a message. You know that? Just a word. And if I saw it correctly, Tara, her mother sent back in the end of it, said, one little word, hope. And I said, amen. Because you see, family prays for one another. Prays for one another. And we say those prayers that God might be exalted. That God can take something that looks impossible and make it come out victorious. And people say, do you think God still does that? Yes. Amen. Yes. And the biggest miracle he does is when he takes a sinner and washes him with red blood and makes him white as snow. Amen. Ask Isaiah about it. He'll tell you. God still performs miracles because he cares for the family. We're family unlike what the world is because when one of ours is in trouble, we pray, God, send mercy, not justice. See, some of you have not had to pray a prayer like that yet. But we pray as Jesus told them. If we all got justice, we would be in hell for all eternity, Brother Brad. But thank God, there was a family that loved us enough. How many of you know somebody prayed for you before you ever came to Jesus Christ? They loved you enough to take your name to an old-fashioned mourner's bench and call upon God on your behalf. Some of them, Holcomb, didn't get to see the reality of their prayers. Some of them did. But you know what? We'll rejoice in heaven together as if we've always been that way. And then in verse 15, a prayer unlike what the world does. Father, keep them from evil. Keep them from evil. See, Jesus knew anybody, any one of them could fail at any time. In fact, he knew Peter was going to fail before Peter failed. Yeah. Amen. He knew that the others and Peter would go back to their former vocations. They would leave. They'd be scattered. But while they're scattered, keep them from evil. Because you see, when we're together, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Amen. Satan, even though he can interrupt, and he does interrupt the services at times, but Satan knows when we're in here, we have the power of the family. But when we go back out there, I'm telling you from my heart, it seems like as soon as I get in that car and I start driving, he'll say, "Man, what a failure you was tonight." And does he talk to anybody else? But I've come to the conclusion, Satan, you can tell me that, but I was a failure for Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, he'll take our failures and turn them into victories. Amen. You see, we've got a lot to be thankful for. As Jesus prayed for the family. And this might seem simple, but that's what he was praying for. He was praying for his family that he was about to leave behind. But you see, he was putting them in the hands of a stronger man. Lord, Father, I give them to you. I give them to you. And remember, as he says in verse 12, remember that while I was here, I kept them all. I watched over them. I provided for them. I fed them. We made it from shore to shore. We went through a lot of places. We've been through the valleys and we've climbed the high mountains. But I'm going away. Would you watch over my family? You know we are the children of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I said there's two important institutions. The family and the church. And if we've been born again, who is our mother other than the church? He said, watch over them. Keep them. Keep them and protect them. Make sure no evil comes upon them. But also, I look out for their relationship with you. He wanted us to have a relationship with God just like his relationship with God. And you know what happened? When he died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent twain. You know what it did? It provided us the same access to God as Jesus had. Amen. Oh, some of you didn't get that. We no longer had to go to a man. But now we can walk right into the holiest of holies and say, Lord, it's me. It's me. As Jesus prayed for his family and our family when he was leaving here, I come to you on behalf of my family. My family's not perfect. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings tonight, none of our families are perfect. None of us. Some of my family has made some terrible, terrible mistakes. Some of us made some terrible choices. But yet, I can't cast a stone because I've made some terrible choices. Amen. But you know, through it all, Jesus said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And I've had to go back and say, Lord, please forgive me. I have messed up. Anybody else messed up? I have messed up. But I did not find a rod of chastisement, but I found arms of love that he took me in and forgave me and restored that fellowship back. David knew what it was like. restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Tonight, family is important. And even though at times, and I'll not be much longer, but there were times that mom and dad could have and probably should have disowned me. But they never did. Times that the church, my big spiritual family, should have and could have disowned me. But they did not. James said it like this. If you see a brother that's overtaken with a fault, family, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore him. Restore her. You know why? Because we're family. I thought about this and I'll close. I've had family that's lied to me, stolen from me, just done all kinds of things. But you know what? They're still my family. Amen. Ripped me off. They're still my family. Some of them married into the family, Ron. But they're still family. Right? You know, you can't choose your family in the natural realm. On the spiritual realm, best thing I ever did do was step away from that old family of sin and destruction and came to a new family where I was born again and made part of this wonderful family. In this prayer tonight, it's a family prayer that we pray for our loved ones. We pray for those that... Did you notice this? Let me go back to the scripture for just a minute. Jesus said unto in the ninth verse, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Did that ever stand out to anybody? I pray not for the world. But yet he speaks in the latter part of this same chapter. He says, even to those that don't know me, and I'm paraphrasing, don't know me now, but will come to know me through how? The word of the family. As they share the gospel. So what's he saying when I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. What he's talking about, I believe with all my heart, is those that would never accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those that have been turned over to a hardness of heart and a reprobate mind. Those that say, I don't want to be a part of that family. They cry. They weep. Sometimes they shout. Sometimes they praise the Lord by raising their hand or saying amen. But you know what? Heaven is not going to be a quiet place. It's going to be a place where people are going to be shouting and praising God for all eternity. And you know what? I'm going to be one of them. You're going to be one of them. But while we're here, we need to pray for our family. Your family is my family. I often think about Tara's sister. And I see some of the posts that she puts out there. And I say, I think she got something. Some of y'all remember Sterling Boland was here in a revival. She sat there about the pew, maybe one before Betty or on Betty's pew. And Sterling preached the house down. And I believe with all my heart, God was talking to her. Maybe somewhere, God gave her that opportunity. And she accepted him as her Lord and Savior. Your family is my family. I could talk the same about yours. That we're just that tight. We're that close. And don't let anybody say anything about the family. Amen. I can say whatever I want to about my family because they're my family. Amen. But don't you let a stranger come in talking about them because that's my family. Amen. We said this before church. I'm not a fighter, Debbie. But God gave us some tools to fight with. Amen. God, and I'm not going to preach anymore, but God fought some of the biggest battles Israel ever faced, and they never raised a hand. Go back and read. I hear the sound of a mighty army. Where are they at? What's these hornets doing here? They're fighting the battles where men and women didn't have to raise a hand. How many of us tonight know God has fought battles for us that we didn't even have to raise a hand in and given us the victory? Amen. And this prayer for the family, we're going to close with an altar of prayer for our families, our natural families, that God would just speak to their hearts yet another time. No matter what the circumstance may be, many of us have got some that's away from God. Lord, would you speak to them to bring them back? They don't need a message. They need a word from God. Some that have been hurt, Lord, would you speak a word to them? You know, we all had our feelings. How many of you had your feelings hurt in life? Yeah. I think most of us could raise our hands, right? But you know what? We outgrew that, Jack. We grew up. And those things today wouldn't hurt us a bit because we have to consider the source that is coming from. Satan will put vile words in his people's mouth to try to tear us down. But Satan can tear us down in many ways, but one thing he can't do, he cannot tear down that good part that God has put on the inside of us. Amen. Would you join us as we close in this prayer? For our family. Our family. And tonight, you're our family. We are the family of God. Let's pray.
Songs that were sung, Lord, for the message that went out. God, how I appreciate it. Thank you for putting us in this wonderful family. Lord, your church and also the ones that are members of it, that God, that become our family, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I thank you for every miracle that you perform, for every prayer that you've answered, Lord, for everything that you have done along this journey. I praise you for it, knowing that God, that if it weren't for you, that we would be of such disdain. But because of you, we're able to stand up and shout the victory. God, go with us tonight as we pray for our family, for ours and the church today. Lord, that we would see a great revival break out in the midst of your people's hearts. We ask you to go with our church, watch over those that are sick and afflicted. Be with them, Lord. Heal them if it be your will. And Lord, again, we thank you for those that you have touched. How we praise you for it tonight. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus and for our sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God bless each and every one of you tonight. I pray for you and your families that God will just bless you in each and everything that they go to do. God bless you. Remember, Sunday morning, Sharon or Ron or Rob one mentioned that it's going to warm up, but we're going to get rain. Now, don't be a fair weather Baptist. We're afraid of snow and ice, but we're not afraid of rain. All right? So we'll be looking for you Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, church at 11 o'clock. And come ready to praise the Lord and to worship with us as family and friends. God bless you tonight is our prayer.